Hey, kingly brothers and heroic husbands around the globe. Welcome to this episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you. Yes, you, my kingly brother, you to show up and be the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Today's episode, I really want to get open and vulnerable with you guys about what's been life for me recently in the last number of weeks. You know, definitely I have an intention to, you know, I've upped my ante in my writing, in my mission with you guys, supporting powerful, amazing men around the world, to just like, what's the mechanisms, what's the key philosophical approaches and perspectives. And I'm aiming to have every episode that there's a depth of information and education and inspiration all mixed in together to support you in the deepest way possible. So quite a few of them are, you know, they're structured. Then I infuse it with all the spontaneous expressions that comes through that makes it up. And there's more and more people listening in. Actually, a celebration and a thank you for listening in. We hit a new high in the movement. It was 752 listeners in the last 7 days. That's up on the last time I think I reported you guys, was like 600 and whatever odd. It's like we've broken through to another part and like well on course. I had 1,000 listeners per week as the aim before the end of this year. Like, we're well on course together. So thank you. And I appreciate you coming in and listening and putting your attention here for your sacred part. This episode is, I really just want to get real with you, and I know I do that, but it's not so prepared, this episode. The topic, I do want to give it sort of like some structure, and the only name that's coming to me is like, fuck hardness, embrace intensity. Why I'm actually bringing this as the topic or the title that I'm going to riff off with you is, on some levels, the last number of weeks has been fucking really hard. And the truth that's coming through me is, no, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be like this. And with my wife, with my beautiful queen, I've been embracing a level of intensity, and it's like the next level. I want to be really real with you guys because, you know, I do speak to how incredible my relationship has become. The depth of transformation, communication, sex life going, you know, infinitely better than it was a few years ago. But there's part of like, the path in marriage that I speak to is the path of self-mastery. And that path, like, that's a lifelong path. That's intense. That can be brutally intense. That can be unforgiving at times. And very often there's like, you know, I was talking with Nick Gregoriadis there, a fourth degree jiu-jitsu black belt. Good few of you have listened in. That was one of the recent guest episodes, and we're talking about the blue belt blues. You know, like, a lot of people hop off the jiu-jitsu journey, which is a journey of self-mastery. It's a lifelong journey where there's no cap. There's no cap to the self-mastery path in jiu-jitsu. There's no cap to the self-mastery path in entrepreneurship, in meditation, in, you know, whatever your practice is. There's no cap to the level of self-mastery available to you in your marriage journey, if you orient yourself in such a way. So recently, actually just this week, I had Taylor Cantrell on. A lot of you will have listened to that episode already, talking about the amazing men's group that we have, that we co-lead together, and just such a dear friend that Taylor has become. But in that group, you know, every week we co-lead, but we lead it from a perspective that we bring a radical truth. It's like, that serves as my men's group. I get in the hot seat and guys, you know, they grill me with love and challenge and intentionality and hold space for what's live. So what really came through me there a number of weeks ago was, it's like, wow, guys, you know, a lot of them know, it's like I bring a profound amount of wisdom and embodied knowledge and know-how on deep intimate relationships. But it's like I shared with them, it's like, there's this like awareness coming through me where, to a point, and it's like, it's just speaking from radical humility, realizing it is a path of self-mastery. I really just spoke to them open-heartedly going, guys, I don't want to fall into this trap of, you know, pretending I have my shit together and getting caught like in sort of like, you know, this expert mode. It's like, oh, I'm the podcast host that Be the Husband She Brags About. I coach high achieving men to be the husband she brags about, et cetera, et cetera. It's very easy for that old persona of I've got my shit sorted. You know, this, I've got my shit sorted. I'm this super confident man. I've got all my ducks lined up in a row. Persona to sort of sneak in the back door and go, haha, you know, and make a roll out of it. I really don't want to do that. I don't want to do it professionally, but like most importantly, I just don't want to do it as a man. It's like radical, authentic truth is one of my highest values. If not, it's like the highest value I have. The human right to speak with radical honesty and to express yourself, your full authentic truth in life, and to be able to create a life where that's the standard norm. It's safe to do that. It's honored by people around you. So, you know, what came through in the group was, I was like, I have to a point mastered in the last number of years to a level, like I've mastered the art of creating incredible harmony. Now, that harmony has come from vigorous, like really super intense conversations with my queen over the last number of years. There was like that breakdown, breakthrough moment with the, you know, I mentioned it intermittently, where, you know, the shit hit the proverbial fan in my marriage. You know, there were super intense conversations. It's not that they weren't intense. It's not that they weren't embraced or went at it. But I've realized recently, it's like, Mark, you've mastered the art of harmony. You know, it's very harmonious, my relationship with my queen. But from that harmony for, you know, it's a number of years, and it's like my nervous system getting used to, you can have harmony. But that harmony has served to allow me go to much deeper levels within me. It's like with the safety of just knowing Matilda's there, we love each other, we're good, we can keep going at this. Like having that stability, it has allowed a much more profound, deep, introspective journey to happen for me. And I just realized, it's like, on many levels, and, you know, follow me if you may, but it's like, on some levels, like, I don't really know who the fuck I am. There's this thing coming up. It's like, you know, my marriage and my relationship with my woman, but my relationship with life has been profoundly based upon a persona that formed to fit in. It's like to fit in, good boy, bad boy, with my mom, with my dad. And it's like, and then by extension, with the teachers and with people in society, give them what they want and hide what they don't want. But the hiding what they didn't want, what they didn't like, what brought rejection, a lot of that shit, that was like my hidden essence. So because I've lived so much of my life, and here's the thing, it's like, I really, really, I've yet to meet a man in deep coaching, in deep work, that has not had significant portions of his raw, authentic self hidden from life. Like the raw sexual desire and attraction to, you know, what it is you're attracted to own that. Your radical truth spoken in the moment, irrespective, like in a safe, respectful way, but just landing it black and white. This is my truth. I say it, I speak it. You know, your expressions of tons of stuff. You know, it's like music for what is one for me. Like that for many years, I've had a guitar. I've had a guitar like about 15 years. My brother had it in college and he just didn't act on it. He was like, hey, take it. I've had it about 15 years. Now, a part of my authentic truth when I was younger is like I used to get really triggered by a friend in my class who was super interested in, guitar in forming a band, I was making a laugh of him. And like, I now know it's like, with a grief, but like, hey, I was mid teenage years. I mean, like, we're all persona at that point. There's very little or no self-awareness at all. There definitely wasn't with me. And I had no empathy. I was judging him, but what I was really judging and triggered by was I have had this passionate curiosity and like a deep, deep hidden desire to play music, to sing. And in my men's group, actually this quarter, next Tuesday, I have like a public performance in front of my men's group, singing, performing Oasis Wonderwall. It's a classic, cool beginners song, but it's like, yeah, that's like that for me. It's like a part of my authentic truth that was locked within me. I had the guitar 15 years and I never could bring it to completion. Never felt, you know, just let's just sit down and pay the price and the discipline. Get a tutor, get a coach, do it on YouTube, whatever. Learn a fucking song. All of this was with these hidden beliefs of, you know, well, your voice and your music in the world, that's not going to be received. So that's one example, but there's also, you know, so much of my stuff I'm just realizing it's like, Mark, in thinking you know who you are, you know, you're leaving out so much of the tapestry of life. It's like if life is like, I don't know, a food buffet, I'm trying to get like a simple metaphor. It's like I have just been in pretending, if I left it just as it was, it's like, oh, I know who I am. I was repeatedly showing up with my wife going like, this is who I am. But it's like who I am is just, you know, 3, 4, 5% of the whole buffet. When in actual fact, it's like you don't know because you stopped tasting lots of other, you know, tastes from around the world, you know, metaphorically from the buffet. But like the tastes and the sounds and the experiences of life, man, you hacked out a lot of that so early that how are you to fucking know who you truly are? So I just want to give this, like, this has been really intense and it's been quite... it's been a super intense process. When that came through in the men's group, it's like I went to work. This is what I do, guys. Like, am I perfect? Fuck no. Do I fall down? Yeah, but it's like the Japanese fall 7, rise 8. Just keep at it. Like 10, and I suggest this. Like, this is your approach in marriage. What I honor in myself is I am always engaging at the 10 out of 10 that is available to me in that moment. I really try to sort of hold that. Am I literally a 10 out of 10 all the time? No, probably not. I'd probably bullshit myself, but the intention is 10 out of 10. But when I recognize, oh, hold on, there's more of me to come. And it's like all of a sudden it's like, man, what you thought was 10 out of 10, it's like, maybe you're a 3 out of 10 of radical authenticity. Boom. Okay. How do I make up that gap? It's been super intense. I want to let you in on this because it has brought up a lot. Like in the last 2 weeks, myself and my queen have had, I've sort of lost count, last two, might be 3 weeks since this sort of breakthrough insight into my sort of lack of really going there into full radical authenticity. It's been super intense because I've brought these conversations and I've been saying it to my queen. It's like, hey, you know, there's a lot of harmony there, but I don't really know who I am. It's like, that's not my fault. It's not your fault. But it's like, there's tons of stuff that I don't know what I'm really, really interested in. And it's been super intense because, hey, the safety for my beautiful queen, it's like a lot of horror, you know, abandonment wounds. A lot of the questioning is like, are you safe? You know, like, what does this mean for a relationship? It's like, what, like, you're telling me, you know, she's like saying, it's like in long conversations, I'm oversimplifying it and probably misrepresenting my queen when I just oversimplify it. But it's like, you know, sort of the baseline is like, you're telling me you want to express more of your radical authenticity, but you can't bullet point it and tell me exactly what that looks like. It's like, so there was tons of stuff coming up where she felt all of a sudden this is unsafe. What the fuck is he bringing? What's he going to suddenly bring to the table? You know, like there was lots of conversations about sexual preferences. It's like, I don't know. And like, I bring this to you. It's like, this is like sort of messy. It's like Brené Brown says, you know, the messy first draft, like in a deep, vulnerable, courageous, honest, you know, trustworthy relationship, which I'm like practicing bringing you my messy first draft. I'm speaking with you guys. There's a part. I've got to be able to trust you guys, you know, the whole space. This is me opening up my heart and my soul, but I do it consciously. My messy first draft that has not been, you know, shaped into a beautiful theoretical framework which can serve you guys, but it's like just what I'm bringing is, it was fucking messy. You know, my beautiful queen Matilda is like, there was lots of stuff there, like talking about the sexual desires and stuff. In the podcast, you know, a part of me in researching, like, why do I invite guests on? There's plenty of different reasons. It takes like a ton of time and energy actually to get enough guys keeping one guest per week coming in, like two or three invites go out to get one guy on. You know, there's a lot of work, which I love. But one of the main reasons is, from a personal growth perspective, I want guys that come in and provoke my thinking as a husband, as a lover, as a dad, as a communicator, as a spiritual being, as a human being. You know, it's like in all levels, I want to be provoked. I want to have my blind spots provoked. But one guy that has not yet actually come on, but in my research and reaching out, he's booked in to come on. A lot of stuff came up. I was looking at his website and his YouTube videos, and he was like really sort of a radically open guy. He's a sex coach for men. So he has been sort of very, very open about tons of stuff. And honestly, I'm going to be really honest with you. You'll hear it when he comes on. I'll be bringing it up again there. But I mean, he started, like, there was lots of stuff about, you know, just being totally present and how you get out of your head, and like that was revelatory. But it was like all of that was quite safe. He brought up points of like, oh, anal sex, like with your woman, which is like has been like a no-go area for my wife for her beautiful sacred reasons. And it's like there's a part of me is like I didn't even want to go there myself personally. But then the idea of anal penetration as a road for self-enjoyment and self-pleasure, I'm like, what? And guys, like, maybe some of you, most of you have like been there, went there, and like there could be a surprise. It's like, oh, Mark, like I should be there. It's like, I'm not. And this is what I'm sharing with you. It's like, I'm not. I've plenty of biases, plenty of prejudices, plenty of beliefs, like from childhood, of what's right, what's wrong. And this was definitely like challenging for me. And I had to, I could feel my judgmental mind going, you got to be fucking kidding me. Oh, Jesus. And I even saw guys, I was laughing with the guys in my men's group with Taylor and the rest of the guys. There's an image on this sex coach, his name is Taylor as well, as it happens. He had one of his courses online is, you know, the path of self-pleasure, anal penetration, you know, with multiple implements. I'm not kidding you. I still have it mapped in my head, guys. I'm laughing, but it shocked me to my core. It's like part of the image was this dude, and it's like a woman wearing a fucking strap on, you know, but like, obviously it was not, they weren't naked or that, but it's like, it's sort of, it's game on. He's about to be taken from behind. I'm with growing up in Ireland, Roman Catholic, guilt of sesh and sexual shame, you know, my upbringing with my parents, with like calling out the elephant in the room. It's like the homophobic nature of Irish culture, definitely in the 80s when I grew up. It's like, you know, tons of, and like any of you guys that are gay listening in or whatever, it's like, it's like nothing, but it's just like really speaking to, like, you know, it's something that was live. It's like, oh, you know, there was these insulting essences of, oh, you know, you're taking it from behind, or he likes taking it from behind. All of this homophobic sort of ways of thinking is like really deeply shaming of gay people, but it's like just this shaming of sexuality that is like, you just can't go there. So this was coming up in me. But I'll be honest with you, there's a part of me, guys, and like I want to touch base with you, and I actively encourage you to lean in, you know, to this question and to this idea that for a lot of what your mind might say is like, oh, I know who I am. I know what I want. I know my needs. There could be a ton, and I believe every single guy, there's blind spots where we have stopped going and experimenting with parts of our expression as human beings, because at certain points, you know, certain people said or did certain things that hurt us, that shamed us, witting or unwitting, but it has happened that we have very often, 99.9% of the time, have just designed a persona that navigates life, avoiding the painful moments, the painful times when people will reject, will judge, will put us down, etc., etc. And we have created a persona that just navigates in a way that avoids the painful experiences or potential experiences and tries to just, you know, maneuver within the limits. And if we're talking about marriage, to the persona tries to just maneuver within the limits of the known, the limits of, like, you know, where you as much as possible will just experience the pleasurable things. But it's there in the background. And a part of our soul, sort of like soul being the root of psychology, a part of our psychology is that we want to be expansive beings and taste, like, you know, taste the flavors of the full a la carte menu, of the full buffet. That's like a part of our human right, is to taste and experience the fullness. And it's not the fullness of every single technique that's out there externally, but to have the full emotional experience. That's a human right for sure. What was really cagey about this for me was, first of all, it's like it was cagey for me. It was like there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of shame. There was a lot of, I shouldn't even be looking at this. I could feel my nervous system tightening up going, man, like, you don't want any of that. But my discipline was, remain open, Mark. How the fuck are you to know as a man if you want it or not? Because what's coming up in your nervous system are all prejudice, bias, beliefs. Are they your beliefs? I had to be honest, guys, and go, no, they're not my beliefs. Nothing. It's like they're all projected judgments from society. And then I formed a belief about this topic about, oh, anal penetration, that's wrong for me. That's like, that's immoral. It's wrong. It's shameful. You know, there again, the homophobic connect is, oh, I don't want to, like, to let my wife know or like my mates know. It's like, you know, to start thinking I'm gay. Homophobic stuff. It's like, it's really, really unsafe as a belief system. So there's a part of me, you know, in my life, I'm like, well, if radical authentic expression is at the core of your being, Mark, as your highest value, you got to call bullshit. Like when your nervous system comes up and like reacts so judgmentally, you got to lean in. So I reached out and I invited a guy on. He's going to be coming on. I'm going to have a beautiful conversation with him about multiple different things. But then I brought it to my woman, and I want to share this, the part of my process with you guys, because I know myself coming to men's work, it's very easy to project judgments on, you know, the teachers that we have, the mentors, you know, a podcast host, somebody that, you know, takes the lead. You know, am I the absolute leader of this? Well, on some level, I spoke to this before. Yeah, if I don't put the fucking podcast episodes up, the whole thing falls. So on some level, yes, I'm leading this movement, but not leader in the sense of like having followers. It's very easy to have, like, if somebody is leading, to have projected judgments of they should just be perfect. I've spoken to it before. It's like, I think that's just total bullshit. I don't trust leaders that are like impeccable and strong and radically confident and they're fucking like just amazing and awesome 24/7. I call bullshit in that. They never speak to vulnerability. They never speak to any emerging shame. They never speak to any belief systems that they have that's like, you know, that some self-doubt comes true. I don't trust men like that. I really don't. So this is where I'm practicing just going, guys, this is raw. This is live for me. And in my marriage, it has me bringing this rattled the dynamic with myself and my queen, because like there was a part of me knew it was like, wow, there's lots of stuff on the topic of, there's actually just been tons of different topics. I think I'm just going in on the highest, most provocative part of the conversation to just give you the most intense, juicy part of it. The whole, you know, anal sex idea, shared together, the idea of me penetrating my woman, she's like, an absolute no. There was certain sacred, intimate details that she said that, like, it's an absolute no. Previous experiences she had, and there was deep fears that she was like, oh, but like, if you still want it, like, am I, you know, not complete as a woman? Am I not, like, will I not be good enough as a woman? Will you then judge me? And will you then end up wanting this thing that I can't and I don't want to give you? Will you end up having to get, like, wanting and yearning and desiring other women, you know, to get that with? It's like very sacred ground. Very sacred ground. So, like, it's an understatement to say, man, it's like last 3 weeks, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 conversations that have been 2 and 3 hours plus. Like, super intense, super fucking intense conversations where lots of tears, lots of stuff coming up in my queen. But what I want to bring to you is, like, my practice is, if it's true for me, or if there is some potential truth and I'm trying to discover my truth in it, my practice is, I'm going to remain in that conversation. The nice guy persona that I've had for so many years, you know, this part that pretends to constantly judge, just touch base with yourself. Do you have a part that is sort of in the background, constantly looking out for, you know, is your wife approving? What's the look in her face? What's her tone of voice? What's she saying? Is she about to reject you? Is there like a fear in you where it's like you're trying to get your point across, but in a way that she won't reject you, she won't judge you, that'll be constantly pleasing to her, but you've got your truth across? This is sort of omnipresent for a lot of guys out there, definitely, like the vast majority of guys. Just touch base with yourself, get real, you know, like that heroic humility, the ground of truth of where you're really at. So yeah, it's been messy. It's been highly provocative. It's been brutally intense. I love and welcome intensity. But it's been at times sort of like it's brought up questions, like really going at it. It's like I could hear part of my persona sort of going, man, like, you know, it's sort of like at really, there were some times when I was just really tired, which can be like, don't trust your thinking when you're super tired. Or like there was one of the days where I was super tired and super hungry at the same time. It's like, definitely, I've learned, don't fucking trust myself when there's hanger, you know. But in those moments, I could feel it's like it's actually key. There's key insights, you know. The darkest thoughts will come up, and it's like, oh, you know, it's, man, like, at what point, you know, do you keep staying in the relationship? At what point, you know, like, if there's that much kickback, and my beautiful queen, she had stuff that came up, is like, oh, you know, are you committed? And like, it, we got fucking real. All of this, I think I just really want to say to you is, like, you know, the fuck hardness, but embrace intensity. One of the main things, and there's tons of details coming through with myself and my queen, like, I think it's like we emerge from so much just this morning. It's like our conversation this morning, and we do what we do because we love each other, and we're both badass. Like, my queen is not the one. There's no one off us. Why our dynamic works, but why it's also as fucking brutally intense as it is, and at times it feels hard, is this. I played this sort of puppy dog, fucking tag along, Mr. Nice Guy, ever pleasing. And my wife had this powerful sort of, like, you know, leader, you know, truth telling, truth bomb, you know, in our dysfunctional levels of coming together. But as we've become more aware, individually, both of us have this part of us, like, I'm a king, she's a queen. Nobody is playing like 49% of this relationship. Nobody just has 49% or less of the energetic space in a relationship. It's 50-50. Our fullest 100% radical, authentic, fullest power, my masculine godliness, her feminine queenliness, the Shiva, the Shakti, the whole lot. It's all there. That's where we're coming from. And I actually encourage you guys to take that on board, that it's like, it's not like a better or worse. It's not like there's always these, the inherited generational story that we've had. Again, touch base with yourself. Do you find in communication dynamics between yourself and your queen that there's a lot of right and wrong going on, where you're trying to make yourself right? And to make yourself right, you can't allow her just have her version of the truth as well. It's like, yeah, but I have this version and you're wrong there because this is more right than you. It's like, I'm more right than you. You're making her wrong and she's doing the same with you. It's like what we're doing in that dynamic is tussling for space, the right to own space as a human being. And why are we doing that? Because we learned, touch base with yourself, but I'm just going to say, again, it's like I can't say 100%, but I haven't met the 1%. Like 99% of guys that come to deep work and coaching have all, to a greater or lesser degree, there can be on the spectrum of it, but have struggled to have their radical, authentic, full expression as a boy welcomed, honored, and maintained with impeccable safety by their parents. And this is traumatizing. When your music, when you're singing, when you're dancing, when you're screaming, when you're climbing, when you're boisterous, masculine, badass, adventurous, warrior self that was just so full of, you know, early years, you know, it's not sexual energy, maybe with the full, you know, peak of testosterone of adolescent years. But like a boy, you, if any of you have had boys and girls, within reason, you don't want to caricature them either, but like the greater pattern is that boys were just a fucking shit mad mental, and they're climbing, and they're like, I've seen it like played over time and time again, with some outliers of course, but in general we have that. So we bring a lot of trauma into relationships where our authentic truth like has not been welcomed. And along with that, we bring a lot of projections that we dump onto our women, where it's like, you know, oh, she doesn't want me to be free, or she doesn't honor my truth as a man, and she doesn't trust me. You know, deep down, when you really do it, guys, it's all in you. It's all in your mind. I'm learning this, I'd say with like the deepest level of humility that I, like, there again, 10 out of 10 humility, and in 6 months' time, today's 10 out of 10 humility, there'd be a new baseline for it. But the all-pervasive nature of it's all in me. It's all in me. It's been like profoundly difficult. I think the breakthroughs this morning was, wow, just realizing my persona that, you know, met and started this dance with my beautiful queen, and all the years of like fucking abject pain and suffering that we had together, and like the suffering of the relationship with intermittent nice times, but, you know, my perceived lack of freedom with my woman, that's all on me. It was my belief system that entered the relationship that was, it's unsafe to express your fullest authenticity. That didn't allow me ground and set a boundary. So everything that resulted from that, and it's like so much pain and so much resentment, you know, that got lodged in the nervous system, it's all on me. It's a fucking radical pill to swallow. I just say that. This is not a new concept, but, you know, whatever experiences you're having, you, sir, yes, you, and I don't have your one name because, like, with the hundreds that are coming in, but I'm like, again, I do this. You know that I'm that are following the podcast. I do this because I want to bring you in. You. Yes, you, sir. Individually listening, you're running, you're driving, you're sitting in your room, you're sitting at a workplace at the desk, you know, meant to be focusing on work, and you're listening to the podcast. kudos to you to actually just finding a way to listen in. But you have created a perfect system that is creating the results that you are experiencing in your marriage. That's it. The radical authenticity, if your full radical authenticity has not yet been received and has not been allowed, or you feel it hasn't been given permission by your wife, by life, that's all on you. I think that's the biggest breakthrough realization, but it's not a new realization, but I think it's the all-pervasive depth of it. It's just, I've had so many judgments about my woman that, like, oh, she doesn't let me, and she doesn't allow me freedom, and she doesn't allow, oh, she gets so, you know, like, part of that persona would be like, oh, she gets so upset, you know, like I mentioned anal sex, or I get so upset that she, like, I mentioned, you know, like, me self-pleasuring myself, and her upset, oh, she doesn't allow. It's bullshit. She's allowed to have whatever emotional response she's having as a human being. She's allowed that experience. If I feel a little bit knocked off kilter by that, that's all down to my belief system. It has nothing to do with her belief system. So, coming into landing, and I've got to rock on. I literally have set a time commitment with my queen to knock off at a certain time. I'm normally doing these episodes in the morning, but it's a little bit before lunch and we have a homeschool meetup to get to. So coming into landing here, guys, you know, fuck hardness, embrace intensity. I really, you know, meandered wherever it spontaneously went, but like my thing is embrace the intensity. But embrace the intensity. To embrace the intensity, it's to accept on the deepest level heroic humility. Hummus, the ground of truth of where you're at. And this idea that if it seems super hard, the only reason it feels super hard and there's a suffering in it is when you have a belief. And yeah, it can extend to your wife having the same belief, but man, your power of influence, when you come from this clean-ended part, or you clean up this belief system of it should be easier. This is like such a common thing where guys and women, I've been speaking with my queen about this morning. This is like a part of like setting a new norm. It's like, hey, this whole belief of it should be easier. Oh, do you know, why is our marriage just not easier? It's like this a belief that it should be easier. You know, take the should out of it. Because from there, it's like, oh, my wife should do this, so my life, my experience as husband would be easier. My husband should do this, so it would be easier. It's like nobody should do anything in many senses. Take the belief of it should be easier out of the vocabulary and go, it's not that it should be easier. Just, it shouldn't be hard, but you've got to embrace the intensity of it. You know, it's like jiu-jitsu. If you do jiu-jitsu on a level, it shouldn't be hard. It doesn't have to be hard. You know, if people are fucking beating the shit out of you and they're like, they're really clumsy, you meet some guys in jiu-jitsu, and some clubs have a certain feel that, you know, I've learned as, like, you know, guys with greater experience, it's like, don't go to that club, Mark. It's like, it's brutal hard. It's like they're just macho hard men. You're not learning jiu-jitsu. It doesn't have to be hard, but like a really good black belt, it's super intense. If you want to grow, if you want to self-master, like your interest in the path of self-mastery, and self-mastery is at the core of your masculine core. This is what I'm calling out here. But self-mastery inherently is a journey that is super intense. What I've been finding in my vulnerable deep dive is, Mark, you gotta just keep embracing and calling on the intensity and keep it like omnipresent. I've been relentless in the last 3 weeks, and it has like brought up so much of the dirt to the surface of where I hadn't went, where my wife had yet to get up to speed. Well, she can't get up to speed if I'm not speaking radical authenticity, but if I do it every single day for 3 weeks, her nervous system this morning, there was a major breakthrough. I'm just saying, guys, this sort of feeling of entitlement, this feeling that your wife should be more trustworthy of you, she should give you more freedom, she should be desire you sexually and be more sexually available, she should be fucking whatever your list of shoulds. Man, you've set up the system to get the exact results you're getting. And if you have a should be easier belief system, and it's okay. I had it for fucking years. Again, 99% of guys, if you're there thinking, oh, I don't have that belief system. Well, but if you still don't have the results showing up in the best way, trust me, it's like it's floating around there in the background. She's feeling your resistance. And when you believe that it should be easier, you're going to have judgments about her, what she should be doing or what she should not be doing. Your liberated self, when you're like, hey, I'm embracing the intensity. I'm a powerful king. I approach my marriage like marriage is a process of coming to know my mind. It's my self-mastery. It's my spiritual path. It's like my marriage reflects back to me precisely where I am and more importantly, where I'm not, where my mind is not, you know, perceiving. If I perceive an obstacle, that's my mind perceiving the obstacle. That's my mind judging. That's my mind closing my heart. That's my mind playing small. Guys, that is the path of self-mastery. There's one of two paths you can choose in life, definitely in marriage. One path, path of self-misery. The other path is the path of self-mastery. Entitlement or enlightenment. Entitlement, small-minded. Enlightenment, you're opening your mind and your nervous system to the biggest game that there is in life. And I'm just saying, guys, that's where the joy is. That's where your freedom is. Your inner freedom and your outer freedom. Because when you start playing there, when you start owning that it's all about your self-mastery of how you perceive, of how you come, where you come from in your nervous system. And when you come from a fearless, open-hearted, ferocious, self-loving, self-accepting setup of your own mind, your woman feels safe. I am finding this out by just relentlessly going there. It's been fucking messy. There's been parts of it brutal. There were parts of it that it felt hard. There's parts of it where I didn't get the time here today to like categorize all the hard spots and my blind spots that my woman supported me in finding. But that's the game. Fuck hardness. Marriage and life does not have to be hard. But man, if it's not intense, there's no self-mastery there and you're playing in a comfort zone and ultimately you'll get bored, your wife will get bored, you'll get disengaged, it'll become a sexless marriage and who the fuck wants that? An intense, beautiful, passionate, fulfilling life and marriage or none at all. Why the fuck would you play if you're not going for the full five-course meal from the top table of life and from your marriage? That's the game. That's what we do when we come here. We speak with intentionality. We speak with intensity. That's the game, guys. By all means, there's a voice message. Check out the podcast, the description, the podcast notes. You can send me a quick voice message. What's hitting home? What's triggered in you? Like, what's your response? What's vibing with you? And what's the biggest insight that you've had from this episode? Let me know. Reach out. I really love hearing. Thank you to you guys that have actually reached out and used that new part of the service. It's enlightening for me. And I know you have communicated that it was a really beautiful experience to just be able to give a personal one-to-one voice with me and connect with me like that. So thank you, you trailblazers that have reached out and used that service. Guys, the rest of you that are like to make it to lean into the fire, I invite you. It's there. I want to hear from you. Coming into landing, reminding ourselves always why we do what we do. And like the greatest purpose in life is when you're living a purpose that's bigger than yourself. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing, stupendous, awesome, kingly day.